All right. Hello out there and welcome back. It is December 7th, 2018. I am excited to be here for this week's Fast Five. I'm here as always with Carter and with Ann. Say hello, guys.
It's good to be here. Good to be back, I guess.
How are you feeling on this fine Friday?
Amazing.
Amazing, as usual.
As usual.
Of course. Why not? Why wouldn't we be? Well, we're excited because today we are coming to you. We're going to do a little bit of something different. A little bit something different, if that's the right way to say it. But the end of the year is always a fun time of the year. It's always where you get to look back on everything that's happened, have a little fun in terms of the type of content we try to put together. And so this week, we are going to talk about awards for 2018. So in case you missed it, Retail Dive put out their Dive Awards this year. And it's a list of about six awards. Yep, six awards in total. And I figured for today's episode, we might as well go around roundtable style and talk about who was chosen by Retail Dive to receive each of those awards and what we thought about the chosen winner of each of those awards. So what do you guys think? You ready?
We're basically like the E-News equivalent of the Golden Globes here. Golden Globes nominations were announced yesterday. They're going to analyze that. We're going to analyze retail awards for the year. It's going to be great.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and there are a couple of these categories I would say that I have very strong opinions on, and I think there are other couple categories where I'm, looking maybe to Chris to really lead the way on, but I think it's going to be really good. I think we have a fun format for today.
Well, no doubt Italian Anna has a lot of strong opinions on all of them as well.
Obviously. When have I let you down there?
Never much. All right, so overall there's six awards to give the listeners an idea of what we're talking about here. So we have Retailer of the Year. We also have CEO of the Year, or Executive of the Year, I should say. And then we also have Disruptor of the Year, Concept Store of the Year, and number five is Turnaround Retailer of the Year. And then lastly, to close us up, Startup Retailer of the Year. So let's start right at the top with Retailer of the Year. Probably the biggest award of 2018. Retail Dive selected, drum roll, Target. What do you guys think?
Yeah, okay. That's not who I picked, but I can understand. I mean, Target's made some good progress this year. They are exploring a lot of new store formats that are performing well for them. When I'm thinking about Retailer of the Year, I'm thinking about like who on paper performed well this year, and I picked Alibaba.
Alibaba.
I mean, you guys, $30 billion of business in one day. I think if we're looking at like on paper, who's doing the best retail this year?
Yeah, globally.
I think that it's this
interesting
choice of Target felt very stateside focused, and I think that
inside baseball.
Yeah, if we're looking at internationally, who the best retailer was this year? I'm picking Alibaba. You look at all the stuff that they've been doing with the Tmall platform this last year, all the people they brought on. LMA, who they're doing 30-minute delivery, and how that's going to impact the future of retail in the world, and especially as it comes to the United States.
Sure.
That's who I would have picked.
That's who gets your vote. Carter, what do you think? That's a good one. That was out of left field. I wasn't expecting to go there.
I get it. I think it's a good choice, Ann, so I'll give my kudos to that. I think Target was this like safe. I think they're catching up with everyone else, spending a ton of money, doing some really cool things. Don't get me wrong, but trying to catch
lots
up with
brand
the Amazons
reinvention.
Of the world. Yeah, and I think they're doing a good job.
Capital
doing clean, and I mean, they're spending a ton of money to make it happen. I think it is the safe bet, but to say it's the Retailer of the Year would probably be pretty short. I'm going to say one that's really lame, but because I'm going to go with the Amazons right now, and here's why.
Yeah, that's mine too.
They did a lot of really great stuff. We're not going to bore you with all that because we've talked about it all year. But I think I want to wait 3 months from now and come back and see how this prediction lies in 2019. Because I think they're going to have some struggles in 2019. You're seeing some things bubble to the top. And I want to make this prediction because I think they had an awesome 2018, but 2019 potentially may prove to be a little more difficult for them.
Yeah, I'm with you, Carter. I would pick... And Alibaba's a good one too, but I would have picked Amazon. I think you just look at how prolific they are. Not to say anything from Target. I think Target had a great year, but Amazon was just incredibly prolific. I mean, you've got Amazon Go to start the year. Then they've got GH Lab and Amazon Four Star.
And even if the
integration with Whole Foods and all,
And no matter how short you are on any of those, we weren't awesome about Four Star. They are doing things so fast and so uniquely Amazon.
Yeah, they seem so far ahead in terms of the infrastructure they're trying to put in place for years down the road where a lot of the other retailers that are, we're probably going to talk about today, they just seem like they're still kind of in that catch-up phase. They might be doing better,
well, you know,
but it doesn't mean you're better than Amazon.
And at the end of the day, they're investing in the infrastructure that Amazon built 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I mean, they are the retailer, though, you guys. Like,
that was an easy answer.
I mean, that's like... It doesn't make, I don't know.
But it's like saying the Yankees aren't the best team this year because back when they were good because they're just the Yankees and I want to pick somebody else. But like,
that's how I feel.
Amazon had an exceptional year.
But that's
in
what
my
the
opinion, Amazon had an exceptional year this year just for Amazon.
Agreed. I think they fit better in some of the other categories that we'll talk about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yep. Okay. Good. That gets us a little warmed up. All right. So let's do number two. So executive of the year. Now Retail Dive awarded this to, wait for it, Jeff Gennett of Macy's. What do you guys think?
I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
When Jeff Gennett walks into a room as he's about to be interviewed, how many people do you think stand up and applaud?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Because that's not who I would have picked.
So he's not Mr. Charisma for you. Is that required?
I do.
Bit?
I think like general admiration and respect in the retail community is probably a good good qualifier for executive of the year. And I had some problems with Macy's this year. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we know about my thoughts about the lines and lines on lines on lines.
Allowing that alone, I feel.
I mean, I
right,
just like felt
that,
like
yeah, talking about that publicly.
I feel like he's just the talking head of Macy's. He's not like how much is Jeff Gennett like in the weeds of what is going on and really like championing Macy's? I don't believe it. So if you care who I would have picked.
Of course.
I'm going to say Emily Weiss.
Oh, wow. You're going startup CEO.
Yeah,
okay.
I am. She kicked ass this year, you guys. Yeah. She is like catapulting above other people. I know. So will the audience. I get it.
Yeah,
it's an obvious choice for me. But, you know, female CEO, let's talk about who's changing the industry, truly changing the industry and doing some big things this year. She's changing retails. We know it. How retailers are interacting with their
Emily
consumers.
Weiss of Glossier.
Sorry, Emily Weiss of Glossier. I mean, like you need that qualifier. Yeah, I think everybody knows who she is. But I would say like if there's somebody that we saw early on at Shop Talk this year and have been continuously impressed by opening a brand new flagship store this year, like things are happening. That girl's making some moves.
Yeah, you're right about that. Emily Weiss on stage at Shop Talk. Jeff Gennett on
stage
at Shop
people
Talk.
People are like I don't know if you guys heard the... Totally opposite. She was interviewed recently by Guy Raz for How I Built This.
Yeah.
And it was like Arsenio Hall, like, woo, 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 when she walked into the room. Like, people love and adore this woman because she's working it.
Anne wants a rock star, Carter. What about you?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to jump on board with the Retail Dive prediction here. I have one I think is a hometown hero of Hubert Joly of Best Buy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say anything because obviously far from Emily Weiss, obviously far from doing anything that crazy. I once heard this thing, it's difficult to work at Best Buy because first you have to explain to people that you're not going out of business, then you have to explain to people the cool things that you're doing. And I think they're not necessarily doing innovative, crazy things all the time, but they're staying afloat and they're winning in a really hard place. Mm-hmm. And I think he has been an awesome PR and ambassador for them, especially here in the local market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think beyond that as well. So I know it's a safe bet. It's a safe thing. But I'll throw him out there.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good one. I think, yeah, I'm with you guys both. I would not have picked Jeff Gennett. And the reason being like, yes, I think he's better than Terry Lundgren, but I don't think improvement means like that's the best person of the year. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think everyone likes him, which is great. He seems like a really good guy. He's also a Stanford grad. So go Cardinals. So he's got to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm with Carter, actually. I kind of had a tie. Mine's going to throw you guys a little bit. So I had Hubert Joly as well. And I think mainly just for what he's done in terms of the financial performance there, but also just the mindset he's taking in terms of thinking about Best Buy more as an experience, as a place to go, especially with his background in travel and leisure.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one I had that I would throw out there, just to get the name out there, is actually Doug McMillon from Walmart. I actually think he's done.
What?
I know, right? Hard to believe.
Out of left field.
I think he's actually done.
Oh my God. All
I think that guy's actually done a pretty good job in trying to establish the foundation. Now, I'm still highly skeptical that he's going to be able to push it forward, just given how big they are and how much they have going against them. But I think he's done a lot of the right moves. So it's just a question now of the next year. Now, I might be eating my words as we go forward.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
But I actually like what he's trying to do a lot better. I think he's kind of the strength in what Walmart has right now. And you can see I think you can see a lot of his innovative stamp in places. The parts where I question their strategy is where I see other people's innovative stamp in terms of what they're trying to do. But I think he's done as good a job as you can do trying to lead Walmart in this really difficult time, given just how much focus Walmart has on them day in and day out. What do you guys think? Does that surprise you?
That was not who I was expecting.
Yeah, it was not who I was going to have you say
at all. So. But yeah, I mean, sure. Doug, go Doug.
Go Doug. All right, Dougie Doug. All right, number three. All right, let's talk disruptor of the year. Now, Retail Dive picked
Katrina Lake.
Katrina Lake of Stitch Fix. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Katrina Lake of Stitch Fix. What do you guys think of that one?
I don't know.
I always think of Stitch Fix as being like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what did they disrupt this year that they didn't already disrupt?
That would be my question. I mean, Retail Dive talks a lot about using data in different ways. Yeah. They brought, you know, they come together with some other people that are trying to improve the product. I think that there's no disruption of any like major or any major happening this year. You guys, I got to get my foil hat because this is where I'm going to bring it in. If we're talking about true disruptors this year, Amazon Go is the biggest disruption to this retail industry that we're going to see.
As of right now, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like truly disruptive technology.
Yes, again, I hate to pick Amazon for any of these categories, but if I'm going to pick Amazon in a category, this is where it is.
Right. Yeah.
For the points that you guys probably expressed earlier, you know?
You feel disrupted far more than apparel feels disrupted by Stitch Fix.
Yes.
But I think you just kind of convinced me there.
And I think the biggest disruption we haven't even seen yet from that, because that's mine too. So I'm going to say, obviously, Stitch Fix. Amazon Go, from like a disruption standpoint, I truly, for the longest time, had something different within this category. But then you realize, like, actual disruption, when you look at the word disruption, like shaking up an industry, right. Not just doing something innovative and cool and small. Like, this is something that's actually going to fundamentally change the way that large portions of people do something. I'm still on Amazon.
So you guys went the same way. Yeah. You might have tipped me over the edge on that one as well. The one I throw out here, which I think will get some traction with you guys based on previous conversations we've had, would actually be Ocado. I think Ocado.
They're my number two.
Yeah, micro warehousing more broadly, but Ocado being representative of the trend there in terms of direct to consumer grocery fulfillment. I think that would be when they spoke at Shop Talk back in March, I mean, it was like, you know, dropping the keys, dropping the mic, that thing's ready to go. And that's way more disruptive than I think a Stitch Fix model will be over time. Even if it's not them, at least if it's somebody that tries to figure out what the types of things they're doing from a fulfillment and automation perspective. So, okay, so we were pretty universally against that choice by Retail Dive this year.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Number four is the concept store of the year, always one of our favorite topics. So Retail Dive selected the new Nike store. What do you guys think on this about this one?
Nike Live.
Nike Live, yeah, you're right. Nike There's Live. A few out there.
Specific, Nike Live. Yeah. Carter.
Yeah, I guess
Carter, this is your wheelhouse.
Well, I mean, I love Nike Live. I love like the new flagship store. I think the concepts that they're doing in New York, and I think this Nike Live concept too, where they're doing kind of across the country and the world, is incredible. I did pull in a little bit of an audible, and I'm not going with it. I think Nike's been around forever. I think they've been a leader for a long time, but for the year, talking about a tiny little easy case study-able brand of Dirty Lemon in their new drugstore in New York. And I think what was cool about that is they use, and I'm a big fan of this, very basic technology in the honor system in order to distribute $12 bottles of, you know, magic water to passerbys in New York. And if those aren't familiar with it, it's the retailer allows you to actually stop by, grab whatever you want, and just use their text message based ordering system to actually pay for things, mimicking maybe some of the convenience that Amazon Go would do without the necessary need for technology.
Right.
And I think it's fascinating to see how they were able to eliminate barriers with trust. And I guess I'd be curious after 6 months, 8 months they've been in business, how well that's worked.
And this is also a pickup location, if I remember.
It is, yes.
Correctly.
And it's also an experience bar as well. Right. So they have bartenders there. You can come in and you can actually pay for your drink via text in your account actually at the bar as well. So it is all like packed in. I just love the barrier-free, frictionless, grab your $12 bottle of water and text your account.
And
it's
really
just taken care of. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the Nike store either, so I have to say this with a caveat. But Anne, what do you think?
So I guess I would have to say if I was going to go Nike, I would have picked the Melrose store, not the new Live flagship store, because I think that the real unique thing about that concept is that they're rotating in product every 2 weeks. And I don't, I mean, Nike Live has, the flagship has a lot of really cool, you know, pickup, in-store pickup and try on and customizing
your shoes. But would you have picked either one of those?
I would not have picked either one of those. I guess I was really thinking of stores that I've physically been in this year and what I was most taken aback by, and that was the Yeti store in Austin.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's an incredible concept. They have a live music stage in there. The way that they've been thinking about that store, all of the fixtures are on wheels so that, you know, they truly know their audience. They have an indoor-outdoor bar. It's about the lifestyle of that brand, and I think they've done one of the best jobs that I've seen for sure this year in really bringing that brand to life and creating a sense of place for their customers to come, or a reason for them to come to a physical space. In more ways than one. It's not about just buying the product. It's about creating an experience that's aligned with the
brand. Yeah, I've never been there. I've only heard amazing things about it. It's
just, yeah.
It's awesome.
Really well done.
It's definitely highly experiential. This is a tough category too, because I get mixed a little bit with disruption and then, like, you know, experiential or what's the coolest thing. I think for me it's probably along the lines of what Carter thought. I think it's GH Lab. You know, here, I've never been to the Umas supermarket from Alibaba overseas, but I throw that one in there too. And that's kind of along the lines of what Carter said too, but it's, how do you think about doing retail in a different way using technology? And most of what we're talking about is through scan and go, or say mobile, you know, mobile interactions with a physical place. And I think that one has a lot of legs in terms of what it can mean in the long term and kind of the choose your own adventure of how you want to interact with that space, especially in the supermarket, you know, overseas in China.
What would you say though about, I guess I can understand the GH Labs because of the future that it holds for retail shopping. But as far as the experience is concerned, like the 360 view of GH Labs, you still would pick that. You think experience design wise, that was.
Yeah, because I think it has just so many different ways to pivot the experience off of it. Like you could make, for example, like it could easily go into the Yeti store that you're talking about.
Right.
And just be a different platform for how you're doing that exact same experience, which actually might augment the experience even more.
Sure.
If you could make a more concierge aspect to that.
Totally
agree. More service oriented aspect to that. So. That's where I think when I think of GH Lab, I just think there's just so much potential. And it goes along the lines of what Carter was saying too. So, all right, you guys ready for number 5?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this one's interesting. So, turnaround retailer of the year, Retail Dive selected Kohl's. Kohl's, our brethren not too far from us over in Milwaukee. What do you guys think?
I laughed when I saw this because it reminded me of one of the first podcasts we did about Kohl's and Aldi.
The
like the goes together like crockery and doilies.
Crockery.
So it's like,
oh,
this
gosh.
Is
that's right.
This is a funny one to choose.
Right.
But I, you know what? This is the one on the list where I was like, okay, I can understand this thing. I think they've done some cool stuff this year. Their partnerships with Pop Sugar and like bringing some Amazon coming
returns.
Into the store.
Yeah. I wonder if Amazon's gonna buy these guys.
That's the thing.
Really
I would say that numbers wise they're having success there too, but I don't know that this is like the full turnaround. But I guess from Retail Dive's perspective, I can understand this.
You can understand this one. See, you can get on board with this one. Carter?
Yeah, but I can't. I mean, last time I was in a Kohl's, like, I mean, it was with my grandma 20 years ago.
Right.
And I know that's a personal thing, but at the same time, I think it's pretty telling.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think we've talked a ton of Kohl's in the last
year either. No.
So, like, I think it's different. I won't talk about this too long. I think for me, it's Target. I haven't shopped at Target in 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
But at the end of the day, like, I've done now in the last 3 months, 5 pickups through the new system and walking into their new experience that they built out and using, you know, the portions of the app and things like that. And maybe it's because I hadn't given it a try, but obviously something's working. And now the 5 pickup experiences I've had over the last, you know, fall into winter have been absolutely incredible. So to say they needed a turnaround probably may not be accurate, but I think some of the new products that they're putting out there, as we mentioned earlier, they might be able to win in this category.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this, of all the categories listed, I think this is the silliest one, to be honest, because you're talking about a time of great upheaval in the industry. And it's like, and can you really definitively say anyone has turned it around? What you're really saying is somebody's improving, right?
Right.
Like, and that's it. Like, but have they really crossed the goal line on the turnaround?
That's a good point.
Like,
yeah.
No, I don't think so.
That's valid. Yeah.
So, and you know, and Kohl's, like, again, it's kind of like, I feel like with, when we talked about Jeff Gennett, it's like, yeah, maybe maybe things are better, but, you know, okay, fine. So I can get on board with that. Like, yeah, maybe things are better, some of the things we talked about. So I don't really have a lot to add here because I think the category is silly. The other one I'd maybe throw out there is actually Dollar General. Like if you look at where their stock price was where it is now.
Their new
they
format.
Still are opening, you know, they open, I think they opened up something like, what is it, 900 stores this year. I mean, that's still pretty impressive given where you are and just given, you know, how entrenched they are in that side of the business or that demographic of the business. So there may be one I'd give some consideration to, but like ultimately for me, just the category doesn't, it kind of rings hollow to me in general.
Yeah. I mean, Kohl's is probably the best turnaround in their category if you're looking at JCPenney's and some of the other competitors. Right. Bonton closed down. Right. Like, oh, so... Kohl's is probably turning around.
Well, and that's funny to me, too, because it's Kohl's, Target, the people you mentioned. Look at all the people that have exited. Where are those people? Where's that business going to go? It's going to go to Target and Kohl's, too. Sure. So, like, what's all going on here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's finish it up on this. So, lastly, sixth category. Wait for it. But startup of the year. Carter, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, totally.
Retail Dive chose Casper, a direct-to-consumer mattress company. Carter?
It's brutal. Once again, four-year-old company. Obviously, you could still potentially call them a startup, but definitely not someone that would be worthy of a top of a list here for the world we live in 2018. I have a weird one here, and I've mentioned this maybe once or twice, but there's this company called Standard Cognition. It's a tech startup.
Oh, interesting.
But they're a tech startup that's building infrastructure to allow retailers to mimic the Amazon Go functionality without the proprietary software that Amazon's building. So they use things like the Microsoft Kynect systems and different array of systems to be able to mimic that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important that others are trying to crack this code so Amazon doesn't have this, you know, they obviously have a much bigger budgets to try to figure it out. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to find a simple solution, or a company like Standard Cognition is going to provide a simple solution to retailers who don't necessarily have the money to invest in their own systems, similar to what Square did to coffee shops and you know the startup maybe retail marketplace business. Standard Cognition might be able to add that layer. I could also see them being purchased by someone like Square. I mean, instead of just getting the iPad point of sale system, you know, you get a couple cameras and you put them in the ceiling, and all of a sudden your mom and pop shop is completely Amazon Go'd
far less 25% of the equipment or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
27 cameras, right?
Yeah,
it's insane. Yeah. So I would put them there, even though they are a pretty pure play tech company.
Yeah.
They have a store they spun up. I think it's a huge deal.
See, that's interesting to me. Like, I would put, if there was a category of who's somebody you'd watch, like startup retail to watch, I would do that. Whether they're across the hurdle yet of like legitimate, like this is a player long term, I don't know yet. Like, only because they only have their one installation.
That's true.
They've got a number of pilots purported, but like, just don't know yet. So I think it's interesting though that you're bringing that up, because it is watching the angle with Square is really intriguing. So
we'll talk about that again. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to come up again. Anne, what'd you think?
I laughed when I saw this. Like, I thought it was a misprint.
Casper, yeah. You wanted to sleep on this one.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, right.
I chose Takeoff Technologies.
Interesting.
Which I, again, like...
Similar to what I just said, too.
Not exactly. And like, these companies, what do you define a startup as? Clearly, Retail Dive is a five-year window, but...
a business that has placement in national retail in its own stores.
But I think that, if we're looking at what is going to start to move and change. And again, they were on my list too, with Ocado for Disruptor, as really setting
genre.
The stage for real change in retail. And that's the micro warehousing and changing grocery and grocery delivery and things like that as we go into 2019.
Yeah, I think they're cool. I put them in the same boat, though. Like, it's conceptually cool, but whether or not it works and has long legs is a going concern idea. I think is tough for me. I don't know. I think I'm surprised. I actually thought you'd go Glossier here. I mean, Glossier I think is even younger than Casper. Especially when you consider it started as a blog 4 years ago, so it really hasn't really been a retailer all that long. So that was one that jumped to my mind. The other one that I think might be able to sway you is actually the Real. You know, so when you think about where that company is, I think they're on the other Series E, Series F financing round.
Yep.
They're starting to build stores. I think that model is really hard to replicate. We've seen it in New York. I thought that was actually another one of the kind of cool store ideas. I think that one's fun to watch because they're just kind of kicking ass along in the background.
Yeah.
No one's really talking about them too much, but they continue to do well, continue to get financing. The business is working. Resale trend keeps happening. So I don't know. That's kind of where my head is. What do you guys think, though?
I'm gonna stick with takeoff and I would say not just takeoff, but some of the robotics in grocery. Like that is gonna make a huge impact. I think they are expanding more quickly. Yeah. Like their Albertsons partnership and other grocery chain partners that they are bringing up. Like grocery robotics, pick and pack, like making that stuff so fast and simple is gonna. I think that's where if I was investing in a startup right now, that's where I would put my money. Yeah.
So the categories blend a
I think it stands to benefit the most people
In
the most short term.
But I also think this category I think could probably be debated in itself of, you know, affects the most people. I think that maybe go back to disruptors.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all come at it from a different lens. I always come at it from a tech lens and like thinking in 5 years, who's going to have the most impact. So I probably am getting behind Ann a little bit more than anyone if I were to try to change my vote a little bit. When you look at saying, we may be projecting, which might be good or bad, but to say like who started this year that has the most potential that in 365 days, two, three, four years is going to then become the disruptor of the year.
Right.
I think, there's
that's a good, like who's your next $1 billion valuation?
Exactly.
Like that you don't know about right now. Who is that? Yeah. That's an interesting way. That's a very interesting way to think about it or something along those lines.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Well, we might just ask. That's a good tease, actually. So I think in terms of that, well, that was a great discussion. I think to all the listeners out there, we actually are going to be doing our own awards here pretty soon. So look for that in the coming days, and hopefully we'll get that published next week. We're going to add, of course, some of our own little flair and excitement into those categories as well. But as always, thanks for sticking with us from Ann, from Carter, from myself. Be careful out there.